Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and joining me in studio right now from the Sacred Heart School in Lawrence is their principal, Christy Miron, and also Father Corey Litzmer. Welcome to Copper Country Today.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
National Catholic Schools Week from January 31st through February 6th. Can you tell me what that is?
National Catholic Schools Week is an opportunity for all of the Catholic schools in the country, really, to celebrate being a Catholic school, to celebrate all of the things that make us unique and celebrate our heritage and all of the great things that we do. So it's kind of a spirit week for Catholic schools.
What kind of things did you do to sort of highlight the week?
We had a lot of fun this week. Typically, our children wear uniforms every day, but we had no uniform today days. We call them nut days on three occasions. So we celebrated the community on Monday, and our kids got to go skating at the local skating rink. On Tuesday, we had our pajamas and a movie day, so everybody came in their pajamas. It was great fun for everybody. And then on Thursday, we celebrate vocations, and so we celebrate Bishop Barriga, the first bishop of our diocese, who is known as the snowshoe priest, and so all of the kids got to go snowshoeing. So we have different events that went on throughout the week. We have a spaghetti dinner. We had a spaghetti dinner last night that is a traditional, it's an annual spaghetti dinner fundraiser for the school. And then we cap off the week by presenting a Distinguished Alumni Award on Sunday.
I was wondering about the uniforms because earlier this week I did the ABC 10 news story where I had the camera there at the school. And the first question that was asked to me after it aired was, where were the uniforms?
That's correct. Yes. Typically, our kids wear uniforms every day. They get one day a month that we call the nut day where they get to do something fun. But because it's Catholic Schools Week, we relaxed that rule for them this week.
Now, Father Corey, as the pastor for the school, can you talk about that function and what you do?
Wow.
So much where to begin. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I came to Sacred Heart School about 3 years ago now, and I was sent here by the bishop for the sole reason, he told me, of helping to build up the school. And I had formerly worked with Dr. Eric Grakovich, who was the former principal, and I got the wonderful privilege last March of hiring Mrs. Miron here, and she and I and the teachers and our school council work together to build up our school. And I have the decision-making powers when it comes to a lot of the school and everything else under my bishop, Bishop Durfler from Marquette. I just love the direction that the school has been going into, and with good people like Christy and our teachers and everyone else, it's not too difficult to to be a pastor of a Catholic school. But I see myself as a vision kind of guy. You know, I like, you know, they're working in the school day to day, kind of answering phone calls and dealing with kids having problems and everything else. And I visit the school sometimes on a daily basis. But the thing that I especially do is ask the Lord, like, where do you want to bring this school? I mean, where? And then, you know, talking with other people and setting vision. So. I hope that helps.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have more questions too.
Okay,
you're not
awesome.
Off the hook yet. The mass that the students attend.
Yes.
Now, is that at your church?
Yep.
Okay, so you're the pastor of that church as well as the school?
That's right. I actually am pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Lawrence, St. Anne Church in Barriga, and Holy Name St. Kateri Tekakwitha Church in Sinans.
Okay.
So, but because the school is just kindergartner from the church, all of the masses every week are done at Sacred Heart School, or Sacred Heart Church, I'm sorry.
So your flock is more than the children. It's the children and their families.
Of course.
And the community.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
And that's, I imagine that's a responsibility that's not taken lightly. It's
a huge
responsibility.
I have a lot of people working with me. I don't do it all by myself.
Christy, as Father Corey said, that you know he brought you on board, and you've been at the school for how long?
I am a first-year principal, so I've been at the school officially since the beginning of April of last year.
And when you took over as the principal, did you have sort of a set mind, you know, what you wanted to accomplish or what goals you wanted to work towards?
I did. You know, enrollment has been a huge factor. Our enrollment was at an all-time low several years ago of 29 students. And we've seen a steady increase in that enrollment year after year after year. Our current enrollment is 61 students. We added eighth grade this year. We had previously been a K through six school, with seventh grade being added last year and eighth grade being added this year. So expanding the scope of the students that we serve. And the other thing is just really regaining that reputation of excellence in education that Catholic schools really do enjoy kind of throughout the country.
Now, the increase in enrollment, was it only because you added the junior high, or have you seen more younger children come into the school as well?
No, we've seen many more younger children. Our numbers in the junior high still are on the low end. We expect to see those increase over time, but we actually had a waiting list last spring for our kindergarten classroom. We capped that at 20 students. We didn't want to have more than 20 students in that classroom, and so we had several families on our waiting list.
What do you believe are the factors for that are bringing people back to the Catholic school?
Part of it is numbers. We're seeing an increase. I know the public school is also seeing an increase in their numbers that hadn't been anticipated. But we're also seeing people who are looking for something that is different from what the public schools have to offer. So we have a number of students who are not Catholic, but their parents are looking for an alternative to public school education.
Mm-hmm. And it was one of the questions I asked when we talked earlier in the week was, you know, what if you want to take advantage of what a Catholic school offers, but maybe you're not Catholic, you know, you could still go and you'll still get the benefits of the education there, but you don't change what you do to reach those people. You remain what you are.
Absolutely. We are Catholic, and we won't compromise our values to satisfy public opinion. And so that's really the crux of it for a Catholic, or for a non-Catholic family coming in, is just that they understand that we are teaching the Catholic faith and that religion is a part of everything that we do. You know, it's a part of our curriculum. It's not like you can say, I'm going to send my kids here, but I don't want them to attend religion class, because it's woven into all of the facets of our curriculum.
Do the students at Sacred Heart and other Catholic schools in the UP, are they learning the same things that if you would learn in the public school?
They're learning the same things. They're learning them in a different way. And a big part of that is that the nine Catholic schools in the diocese are transitioning to a liberal arts or a classical curriculum. And the center of that curriculum is the person of Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. so they are still learning math, and they're still learning, you know, science and English. But, you know, it's all with that focus on the way that it's summed up really is best by saying the focus is on the true, the good, and the beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we find that truth, beauty, and goodness in Jesus Christ.
Your school goes from early five kindergarten through eighth grade, and then after they graduate from eighth grade and go to high school, then they go to one of the area high schools. Now, I don't know how long either of you have been around to see, I guess, people grow up in the Catholic school and go on to the high school, but my question would be, how are they prepared as opposed to somebody who has spent all of their time in public school? Are they behind sort of the curve, not necessarily educationally, but just getting adjusted? Or maybe do they learn some things in the Catholic school that helps them?
I think they learn a lot that helps them, and a great example of that is the valedictorian for the Launce High School's graduating class last year was a Sacred Heart School graduate. She really excelled all throughout her career, and that's not uncommon for us to see that, to see our students do really well. I think it also helps that we're a small community, and so it's not like we're isolated. Our students have opportunities to make friends in the public school system. We have students who attend the GE programs, the after-school programs at the public schools. We have students who participate in band and in the athletics, and so that opens up that avenue for them to make friends in the public school, so that they don't go in there, you know, feeling like an outsider.
Father, you know, with growing up is hard in any age, you know, in any era. And I think, as you know, especially right now, young people, junior high especially, are facing a lot of things that maybe, you know, some of us didn't really have to deal with at that age when we were there. Now, having sort of the dual education and faith approach, do you feel that that puts you in a position to sort of, you know, prepare these students in a way that maybe they're not going to get in a public school?
Well, of course, because the public school cannot freely teach morality, for example. Public school can't teach some of the things that we teach, and that's just adding to what Christy said earlier. I think one of the reasons why some non-Catholics choose to send their kids to Catholic schools in general, Sacred Heart in particular, is because they know that we're not going to be compromising our values. But I think that another thing to see in all this is that there's an integrity. You know, in other words, they're learning about the true, the good, the beautiful, but they're also encouraged to live truly good lives, live lives in accordance with the truth, and live beautiful, noble lives, lives of heroes, basically. Because I think that sometimes in our culture, you know, they put these great models in front of our kids, like the Captain America and all, and the Hobbit and all these heroes, you know, that our culture talks about. But then, you know, our culture, on the other hand, doesn't encourage them to be heroes in their own lives. And I think that's the integrity in the Catholic education, when it's done well.
What about parents who have tried or are considering trying homeschooling because they're unhappy with public education, for whatever the reason might be? Do you ever get those parents who sort of, okay, you know, this didn't work out, or we're not sure if we're ready to try homeschooling, and they come to a Catholic school first?
My experience has been, we've actually seen the reverse. We have a couple of homeschooling families who have come to us to supplement what they were doing. And the one family in particular, their students are in school 4 days a week. So we've worked out an arrangement with them to supplement their homeschooling curriculum. We do hear that sometimes, that people are looking for that alternative and they're not sure they want to try homeschooling. And so, you know, they want to try us as another alternative. But then we've also seen homeschooling families come to us as well.
And I can tell you, too, that I'm the spiritual director of the Catholic Homeschooling Association in the Upper Peninsula. And so I, you know, when I came here to Sacred Heart School, I reached out to some of our homeschooling families, and one of the things that I love about the homeschooling movement is the fact that they help us to realize that the parents are the first educators of their children. And when I make the pitch, I guess you could say, for Sacred Heart School, I tell the parents who either have done homeschooling or are considering to do homeschooling, it says, you are still the first formators of your children, and we do not want to take that away from you. And if you think that we're not doing the job that you would want us to do or that you would do, then we are always open to your inputs. And so a couple of the family have told me personally, when I was over at their homes for dinner, says, we love Sacred Heart School because we feel like we have a voice there, because they're not taking over from what we're doing, but they're supplementing what we would have done. I don't think that there's necessarily a conflict between the two. I think both of them are focused on, again, the true, the good, the beautiful. And there's some homeschooling families that just aren't ready and can't you know, give their children what their children need. And that's where Sacred Heart School and Catholic schools can supplement them.
And feel free to interrupt me at any time. You're okay. A lot more interesting than I am. So,
thank you very much.
Kristen, when I was there at Sacred Heart, I was trying to remember, you know, the last time I had stepped foot in a Catholic school. It had, you know, probably when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kept looking for, you know, as we joked about, you know, the nuns with the long rulers that snap the people's knuckles and stuff, all those sort of stories. And, you know, my father went to Catholic school back in the 50s. And boy, I mean, there were some great stories of, you know, those sort of classical stories that now are probably badly told in films. But that wasn't what I saw. I saw, you know, my take was smaller size classrooms, mm-hmm. Which what teacher will tell you that they don't want a smaller size classroom?
Right.
I mean, that's one of the first things that comes up when people talk about public education. Well, there's 50 kids in a class. How does a teacher give any sort of one-on-one attention to a child? So I saw that, mm-hmm. and I didn't see what I also thought. It didn't look like church all the time. You know, it looked like school. It looked like school,
right.
Classroom.
Looks like school. Yeah.
So I bring up those things and talk. Let's talk about maybe some of the people that, you know, when they come to you and they're asking questions, myth versus reality of what they're going to find.
I think they're going to find that by and large we look very much like any school that they would walk into. Obviously, when you first walk in the door, the focus is on Jesus. You know, we have those statues right when you come in. There's Jesus in the center and Mary and Joseph on either side. But when you look down the hallways, they look like school hallways. There are lockers in the hallways. There are, right now, kids' boots in the hallways because it's that time of the year. You know, the classrooms, they have smart boards and they have chalkboards and they have computers and overhead projectors and you know, document cameras. I guess I should say document cameras, not overhead projectors anymore. But, you know, it looks like a school. It looks like a school. And it's interesting because I was teaching the 7th and 8th grade yesterday. I do a religion class with them twice a week. And we were talking a little bit about the history of Catholic schools in general and Sacred Heart School in particular. And we were looking at old photographs. And that was one of the things that really struck them was all of these nuns, you know, in the 50s and the 60s. And we don't have even one nun in our school now. And, of course, that's a reflection of the lower numbers of women going into religious life that we've seen across the country. And so lay people have had to step forward and take on those roles. So that is a difference from what you would have seen, you know, back in the day, so to speak. I went to a Catholic school and we had a number of nuns, but we also had lay people who were also the teachers. So back to your original question, you know, what are they going to see? It looks like a school. It's got kids running around when they're supposed to run around and paying attention. Our average student to teacher ratio is right about 13 students. That's the national average, and we're pretty close on that, 13-1. So we do have those smaller class sizes, and we have some room for growth without compromising the integrity of the teaching. Right now, our classes are all split. So we have a combined first and second grade, a combined third and fourth, fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth. And so even as we've got room to expand there. So as our numbers increase, as I hope and I pray and I'm working for that to happen, we'll be able to split those classes out even more and still maintain that lower student-to-teacher ratio.
Now, what about funding? Because, you know, for public schools, of course, we rely fully on you know, government funding.
Right.
Even charter schools, you know, though they have a tuition, there's still a lot of money from the state that gets redirected towards charter schools. How does the Catholic school system fit in?
Our students, our families pay tuition. We work really hard to keep those tuition rates affordable and yet still be able to run the school, be able to meet all of our financial responsibilities. We at Sacred Heart School have been blessed over the years with really generous benefactors. So we have an endowment fund and we have scholarship donations that come in. And so when we do our registration paperwork, we say to the families, okay, these are our rates. But you tell us now, what can you realistically afford to pay every month? And then we work with a combination of scholarships and tuition to make that a reality for every family. We look at each family individually and work with them to make it affordable for them.
Does it fall anywhere into the school of choice where people can direct some of the money that maybe that they spend that goes towards public education and redirect it into the Catholic school?
At this point, it does not, although, and I don't have it in front of me, but I know that that is something that is coming up again in legislature, the possibility of those having like a voucher system where some of those school of choice monies could be directed toward private schools.
Okay. But there are some things that, you know, you've had to work out with, you know, neighboring schools, band, athletics. Talk about how those work.
Okay. Band and athletics are both new this year. These are things that I sought out in response to not concerns, but questions from the parents. And so I worked with the superintendent at the Lawrence Public Schools to, we just signed a memorandum of agreement that our students can participate in their band class and in their athletic, junior high athletics. And they follow the same rules. The band class, we actually have a bus that we acquired last year, so we are able to transport our band students over to Lawrence. They go over there 3 days a week for band class and then come back to school. So we've been able to work that out really well. And then we had several students who played football in the fall. Now, I'm not sure if anyone's playing basketball this year. I have to check and see. But so it's a very new thing, but it's worked out really well so far.
Going forward, what are some of the things that either of you would like to see? You know, you've got a little bit of momentum going. Of course, you want to see that, you know, continue to grow. But, you know, Lord willing, what would you like to see happen?
One of the things that Father neglected to mention when he was talking about his duties is we teach Latin in all of our grades across the curriculum. And so he does come in and he teaches Latin to several of the different grade levels. One of our teachers also teaches Latin. And so I want to see that continue. There are some great studies that show that knowledge of Latin really increases critical thinking, and it increases the student's ability to do well on standardized tests because of that increase in critical thinking skills. It helps them learn grammar better. It helps them learn multisyllable English words, because so many multisyllable English words are derived from Latin. So it really helps them with English vocabulary. So it's not that we expect our kids to go out and start speaking Latin, but it helps in so many different places down the curriculum. So I want to see us continue to add, you know, continue to pursue that, continue to implement the classical curriculum that we're using across the diocese, and keep seeing those numbers grow. And then we have it's not a pipe dream. I'm going to be really positive. We are looking at adding a gym. We have started the process. We have met with engineers, and we've got figures. And so now we are starting the fundraising to add a high school, you know, regulation high school gym, because it's one of the things that we are lacking at Sacred Heart.
And Latin is not a far-fetched scheme. They used to do it, everybody.
Yes.
As a basis for English and, you know, the languages, that it helps you understand things.
Exactly. You know what's neat for me, too, is every Wednesday the Mass is in Latin. You know, the readings are in English, and then of course I preach to the kids in English.
That helps.
Yeah, that helps. But the other parts of the Mass are all in Latin, and at this point it's so awesome to hear the kids respond in Latin to the prayers. And a couple weeks ago, one of the parents came in for the Mass, and afterwards they said, "That is so neat to hear my child responding to what you're saying in Latin." And I remember when I was in high school, I took French for 2 years, and then afterwards, in 11th grade I start taking Latin, and it was amazing for me just to be able, my comprehension of English just increased. Before that, I hadn't a clue what Shakespeare was saying. And after having studied Latin, I began to just fall in love with Shakespeare, because he had gotten really the same thing that I was getting at that point. And and it just it start making so much sense. And I'm just so excited, you know, for when these kids go on to the high school. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, the teachers teaching Julius Caesar or Romeo and Juliet or Hamlet to the kids, you know, and they're like, you know, and then our kids are like, I know what that means. I know what that means because they know Latin, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's all Greek to me.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to thank you both for coming on the program. It's been great.
Thank you very much,
well,
Rick.
Thank you
for having
much.
Us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.